How's everybody doing? That was terrible. How's everybody doing? And everybody went, bleh, bleh. Okay, it's too late. It's too late. A lot of bread wrappers up here. Bread wrapper packet things. I saw y'all were going about to do that, and Dave, guys, let me explain something about Dave, your youth pastor. It's real simple. He's an old man that does not like to have fun. Okay? If I were running this show tonight, I would have let everyone in this room throw up and called it a huge success. It would have, you feel me? But I'm not your youth pastor, and I'm not going to be. There's not enough money in this town, I promise you. All right, if you got your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. Okay, anybody not here this morning and you're here now and you're curious about what just happened? It's just the Lord moving, okay? So from now on, you people that are new, that didn't, you weren't here this morning, anytime from this point forward in the rest of your life, for as long as you live, as long as you can hear or read sign language, somebody says open your Bible to whatever, you're going to do that, okay? So I know y'all were caught off guard, maybe a little scared. Some of you, honestly, may have pee-peed a little bit, and that's fine. It's fine. Dave cleans it up. Okay? Just leave it there. Don't try to clean it up on your own. That's how people get their eyes put out. So we're going to do it again just for you folks that weren't here this morning, because I know y'all want to be a part. Like right now, you're like, what did I miss? Why is everybody yelling? And real quick, can I pause on that real quick? How cool is it that y'all have got like Jack Santa Claus as y'all's drummer back here? Are you kidding me? That's like a Santa. It's like, what do you want? Well, you're not getting it. Okay, anyway, back to... I took my medicine. It's worn off. So here we go. So anytime I say open your Bible, anytime anybody says open your Bible from now on, so open your Bible to James chapter 1. And that's what we're going to do. Let me pull up my word of the Lord on my electronical celery phone. All right, so if you missed it this morning, we talked through the first 18 verses of James chapter 1, and we talked about how trials and tough stuff are going to happen. No one is exempt. Everybody deals with tough stuff. Everybody deals with heavy things. Everyone deals with broken relationships. Everyone deals with loss. But when we trust God through that, we actually gain while we're losing something. We gain by losing. That's what we talked about this morning. Today we're going to continue through this verse, through this first chapter, through a few more verses. And we're going to look at this idea of do we live out what we believe, or do we just believe it and not live it? Okay? Do we live it out, or is it just stuff we know? I grew up in church. From the time I was an itty-bitty baby boy, I was in the church nursery. I was in the kids' ministry. My mom was the kids' choir director, which meant I got to sing all the solos. And you'll never see me singing on a stage again. It's a bit of trauma that me and my counselors dealt with. Okay, we talked about a little bit of counseling this morning. This, whenever, you know what I'm saying. And then I was in the youth group, and I went on all the trips. We went to a church, you've probably heard of it, it's a pretty big church in the country. It's called Pickles Gap Baptist Church in Pickles Gap, Arkansas. Probably everybody heard of it. Nope, no one. You barely have heard of it if you live there. So that's the church I went to, small church, did all the stuff. Grew up in church, knew a whole bunch about church stuff, which was great. And all my friends knew a whole bunch about church stuff. Everyone I was in youth group of knew all the church stuff. But I can tell you, in a youth group of about 30, quite a bit smaller than this, four of them ended up in prison within 5 years of graduating high school. One of them's name was Carl. And Carl was dumber than a box of chicken beaks. Now, I want you to think about a box of chicken beaks, just the beaks. Carl was dumber than that. Carl was in our little, we used to travel in the summer, and we'd do these choir tours. And it was a lot of singing, and there was a lot of this. And then there was, like, drama. And Carl had one line. That's all that Angry Dave gave him. That's my youth pastor's name, is Angry Dave, because he was mad at us all the time. So Angry Dave said, Carl, here's your line. The very first day we rehearsed it, we were so excited. We were going on like a nine-day tour all the way across the South. It's going to be so much fun. And Carl got up to his line, and here's how he delivered it. He said, okay, donkey. And he was so convincing. But the words that he should have read were okie dokie. Dumber than a box of chicken beaks. Okay, donkey. It was so dumb that Angry Dave let him keep that as the line the entire tour. It made no sense to anyone except for us, and it was flipping hilarious. My point is, all of us in that youth group, we knew all the church stuff. We had memorized the verses. We had been to VBS. We went to Sunday school. We went on choir tours. But not all of us acted out on what we had learned. And some of my buddies ended up in state prison because of it. So tonight, I guess my main goal is to keep you out of prison. Okay? So turn to somebody and say, don't go to jail. Okay. So you ready? Here we go. James chapter 1 verse 19 says this. It's going to be up on the screens. It's going to say, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So now remember, let's reverse just a little bit. James was writing this letter to all the believers that were scattered out all across the place who were actually having a pretty hard time figuring out what it looked like to follow Jesus. They were up against a bunch of persecution. People didn't like them. They were broke. They didn't have a lot of resources. So he tells them in the first part there, like we talked about earlier, count this joy. This is going to work out because you're God's favorite. And here he starts out this part of the letter and says, hey, quit acting so dadgum angry all the time. So apparently, the early believers that James was writing to, they were being known for just always being mad about stuff and like raging against everyone. Anybody that didn't agree with them, they would get angry. And so James says, hey, how about we knock that off because that's not doing anything. He tells them to be quick to listen, slow to speak. Because if we'll do that, then we can hear from God's word, and that's what's going to change us. And then he keeps going. Verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. Let's stop there, because this is a real good illustration. So here's what James is talking about. James is talking about, don't just know the stuff. Don't just know the Jesus stories. Don't just know the Old Testament stories. but do likewise. Right? When Jesus called his followers, he said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He was saying, if you'll follow me, I will show you how to live, show you how to talk, show you how to respond to people, show you how to serve people. I will show you. So James is going, don't just know the things that Jesus did, but do the things that Jesus did. And he said, that's just like someone who looks in a mirror and then turns around and forgets what they look like. Now, I'm sure there's some of y'all in here that spend an enormous amount of time in front of mirrors. And guys, don't act like it's just the girls. Because you know we can see you. Like out here in the lobby, like we can see out those windows. And then when you walk by them, we can see you guys going. Check me out. The other night I was emceeing a fundraiser for a nonprofit in Houston. And guys, I'm just going to be real honest and transparent because that's who I am. I had to go to the bathroom. The sit-down kind. Okay, I was a little nervous. A little nervous. 350 people. We're trying to raise $150,000. I was a little nervous before I started. And I was just sitting there, just minding my own business. And while I was sitting there, about four guys came in. This is all adults at this thing. About four grown men came in. And I'm curious what's going on. So I'm looking. And none of them went to the bathroom. Like the bathrooms were here, which would have meant they should have walked in and their shoes should have been pointing this way. But all of them walked in and their shoes were pointing this way. Why? They were making sure they looked good because there were a bunch of rich ladies in the room that night. And they're probably trying to pick up on one or five of them. Okay? So I know we all do this. But most of the time when we look in a mirror, we want to make sure that when we leave there, we're looking pretty good and we know what we look like. My junior year of high school, I was in 11th grade. And at our school, where I went to high school, 11th graders could go to the prom. I don't know how it is here. I don't know if it's just seniors. But there, 11th and 12th graders could go to prom. And the only way underclassmen could go is if they were going with an 11th or 12th grader. I was an 11th grader. I was a junior. And at the time, my girlfriend, her name was Kim Russell. Kim was in the 10th grade. Really good basketball player. Really good shooter. Easy on the eyes, if you know what I mean. Hey, I've not always looked like crack Santa. So we planned it. She'd gone out and bought her a beautiful red dress because I was wearing a black tux with red. The morning of prom, I woke up at 6:30 in the morning and I was just not feeling right. Something was off. Felt like I had a fever. And so I got up and I was like, you cannot do this today. Tonight is the... Got it. Just get into the bathroom, throw some water on your face, flush the toilet, make some noise, wake yourself up. Let's get it. I walked in the bathroom, flipped on the light switch, and I was covered in chicken pox. Now, let me explain covered. Not like a couple of little pock, 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 pocky, 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 pocky. Covered. Thousands. They were all inside of my nose. Watch this, even worse. They were all on top of my eyelids. Both eyes. They were everywhere. They were in my ears. In my rears, they were everywhere. Now look, remember, I'd already rented a tux. Kim had already, she had already bought a dress. We had already made dinner plans. We had the whole night planned. And I could have at that point just looked at myself and just thought, it's fine. and then just gone and got into my tux and showed up at Kim's door. Hey. And she would have freaked out. Okay? But I did not do that. I looked at myself and I was like, okay, I'm obviously not okay right now. So I need to do what I need to do to get better. And going to the prom was not on the list. So I sat in my bed. I laid in my bed the rest of the day. I put medicine all over me. I was just white because I had medicine. I'm whiter because I had medicine all over me. If that's possible, it's possible. My friends came by that night before they left and went and had a great time. Oh, by the way, ladies, Kim did not get to go because, remember, she was a 10th grader. Spoiler alert, we did not make it much further past prom. It's fine. It's fine. I'm over it for the most part, according to my counselor. So I had to make a choice right there. My choice was pretty simple. I had to stay in the bed until all the stuff stopped itching. And I was just clawing at my face and my eyes and all. Just, it was awful. And here's what James is saying in this passage. He's saying, if you just know the things of God and you're not doing the things of God, you're just checking yourself out in the mirror and you're walking away and you're not doing anything about what you see. You're just forgetting what you just looked at. You're not doing the things it would take to make you look a little better. Right? That's the main thing mirrors are for, is to make yourself look a little better. Right? So he keeps going. Verse 25 says this. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Let's stop right there. The one who looks into the perfect law, which what he was talking about is God's word, right? The things they had at that time that had been printed, most of the Old Testament, but then the stories of Jesus. The ones who look into that, he calls it the law of liberty, because when we live the way God wants us to, there's this freedom, right? We have this freedom when we're doing godly things. We're living like Jesus lived. We have this freedom to where we're not having to worry about anything because we're doing the right thing. And you persevere, which we talked about earlier today. You push through the hard stuff. Being not just a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Now, I don't know about you, but given the choice, I prefer to live a blessed life. Not just a sneeze, God bless you life, right? You know, when you sneeze and somebody says, God bless you. Like, there's this old wives' tale that when you sneeze, you almost die. That's not true, but that's what they used to believe, that every time you sneezed, your heart stopped and you're seconds away from the grave. And people will go, God bless you. You're still alive. It's a miracle. Okay? We all know, because of science and Dr. Fauci, that that's not true. Okay? Not a sneeze, God bless you, life, but a life where God's hand is on you. And it's evident. It's evident that God is using you to do the things that he's created you to do. Remember, we talked about this morning whenever it was, that you are God's masterpiece, which means he's created you for his purposes. And when we're doing the God things, we will live a blessed life. Watch this. This is important. It does not say there, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. It doesn't say a doer who acts will never have any problems. It doesn't say that God will protect you from any kind of discomfort if you're living out his purposes. It just says while we're living out his purposes, we will be blessed. So, a couple questions come out of this part right here. I want you to just wrestle with for a second. These are hypotheticals, seventh graders, so this is not a shout out your answer. But on a scale of just knowing and hearing the things of God to doing the things of God that you've already know and have heard, I want you to start evaluating, where would you be on that scale, right? Which side would you lean towards? Would you be, I'm definitely way over here, man. I'm Carl. I know all the stuff. I know all the verses. I don't know how to read, but I still know all the verses. And as I get older, I'm probably not going to act on any of it. Or maybe you're somewhere in the middle, and you go, hey, Darren, I would probably put myself in the middle, and here's why. It kind of just depends on who I'm around. Because when I'm around this crew, who aren't hearers of God's word, we kind of do those type of things. But on a weekend like this, where I'm with all my church buddies, I'm definitely way more over here. I even prayed in small group earlier. So I guess you could say I'm doing pretty good. But honestly, it does kind of depend on who I'm around. And maybe, and I bet there's a few of us, you're sitting over here on this side going, no, 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 man. Like, the best I know how, I'm trying to live this out. Now, I don't always get it right. And going back to the top of the passage, there's definitely some times where I react in anger and I don't control myself. But for the most part, I feel like I'm right here. So that's the question I want you to, start going, hey, where am I on this scale? And then the next question has to be, how do I move closer to not just being a hearer, but to being a doer? And then here's how it ends. Verse 26. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Let's just stop right there on 26. Remember, he started this whole little part of the letter out saying, hey, you gotta, how you talk to people matters. That's my wife's life motto, by the way. Let me restate that. She's been telling us that since the kids were little. How you talk to people matters. How you talk to your friends, how you talk to your parents, how do you talk to your teachers, how you talk to your coaches, how do you talk to your bosses, all of that matters. Why? Because probably they know you go to church over at Temple Bible Church. Right? And if they don't see you doing specifically in how you're talking, they're going to go, I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there. So he says, if we don't bridle, and this is a term that would have been super familiar with the audience because it's about horses. If you've ever been around a horse, the way they control the horse is they stick this piece of metal in their mouth. It's called a bridle. And now it's in their mouth. And they can hold on to it with some little leather straps and make that big old horsey go wherever you want it to go. And so he's saying, unless we're bridled, unless we have control of our words, then our religion is nonsense. And then 27 says this. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. Look, remember when I told you earlier that James is very practical? This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. This is what he says. He says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this. To visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is a very interesting verse in the Bible. Because it's so incredibly simple. James says, you want to live like Jesus? Here's what you do. You take care of widows. You take care of orphans. And then he says, and then we keep ourselves pure from the influences of the world. So let's talk about that last part. Keep oneself unstained from the world. This is some no-brainer stuff. Look, I'm not a doom and gloom preacher where I think the whole planet's just about to explode. Maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, I've read the book. I've read the end of it, and it kind of looks like we come out all right. But the truth is not everyone out there is for us. And in your generation, more than any generation before, and it is different. I can remember being a teenager and looking at my mom when she was like on my case about something, and I go, it's not like it was when you were a kid. And honestly, that was kind of false. It was a whole lot like it was when they were kids. But now, when you guys say that to your parents, that's a very accurate statement. It is not like, my kids are not growing up in the same world that I grew up in. And they are influenced exponentially more by anyone and everyone, all day, every day. It was not like that when I grew up. MTV, when I was growing up, was considered the devil. MTV came out, and everybody freaked out, and all the parents were like, uh-oh, it's the end of the world. There's music videos, and now my kid's going to start hacking people up, I guess. I don't know. Like, they freaked out when MTV came out. But here's the thing. The only way you had access to MTV back in the day is if your parents paid for cable. And most parents didn't, because it was expensive. It was like $8, which was a lot back then, okay? And so most kids didn't have access to it. And even then, your parents could block it. They could just not order that channel. But now you guys, it's all day, every day. All you have to do is do bloop, 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 bloop. Let's see what it's telling me today. Oh, she seems smart. Okay, that's a kid I follow that's a skater. Oh, this is trying to get me to order. I don't even know what that is. It's Russell Brand telling me something. That's a guy on with a sweatshirt that says Big Deborah instead of Little Debbie. I'll tell you this, my social media feed is very, very dialed in to its skate stuff and its dumb stuff. That's it. If it's not skate or dumb or car, it's not coming up on my feed. I don't have time for it. I have blocked so many people from my Facebook feed because all they want to talk about is who should be president and why I'm a bad person if I don't agree with them, and that this and then that and that, and then you should be like this and you should be like that, and I don't follow anybody that's into fitness because they're telling me I'm fat or I'm fat skinny or I'm skinny fat or I don't do enough push-ups or I should walk every day. If I want to feel good, I should buy their toothpaste. All the stuff that's out there, right? And you guys know what I'm talking about. Dave is preaching about it in big church tomorrow, or you did. You just did that a while back, right? You preached on technology. And we all know it. And James, when he wrote this letter, had no idea what was coming. This was still a culture when James wrote this letter that if you got any information, if you were stained by the world, that meant you had to be in proximity with people that were doing things that were anti-God. So this has been going on for thousands of years, but it seems like it's kind of hit its apex, its very top spot with your generation. And so the Bible tells us we have to guard our hearts, we have to guard our eyes, we have to guard our ears. But that's only part of what he said real religion looks like. Because before he gets there, he says, you want me to tell you what real religion is? James says, you want to know what real religion is? He goes, I'll tell you. Take care of widows, take care of orphans. Since humanity has existed, there are people in our communities that are forgotten. And it's no different now in 2024 than it was around whatever it was here, 50, 60, 40, 30 AD. There's people in our communities that are forgotten and no one is taking care of them. And James says, you want to know what it looks like to not just be hearers but doers? Take care of the people around you that have no one else to take care of them. And I'm going to go in hard on this in the morning. Okay? So I'm going to try to resist the temptation right now. But we have people. You have people in your schools, in your neighborhoods, and in this town that have been forgotten. And James says, if we want to really follow Jesus and be like Jesus and be doers of the word, not just hearers, we will seek out those that have been forgotten and take care of them in their time of need. Thursday night, the fundraiser we did, my wife and I hosted and emceed this fundraiser for an organization called the Riverside Project in Houston. And they're called the Riverside Project because they use the visual of a river and say, what would it look like if you were out by a river, you were on the bank of a river, you and some of your friends, and you looked out in the river and then you saw like a kid floating down the river, like what would you do? Well, you would, you know, I might jump straight in, try to swim to him. My friend may run all the way down here and hang off a tree. We may throw something out there to try to get the kid. But then as you're doing that, you look up and here comes another one, 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 and you look way upstream and the entire river is full of kids. That's the visual of the foster care system in Houston. Because there are thousands of kids who have been orphaned of no choice of their own. And there are those of us who have the ability to stand at the edge of the river and try to figure out how we can pull them out of that river and give them a shot at life. Now, that's not the only thing you can do to serve the Lord. But it's pretty clear in Scripture that if we're ignoring those that have been forgotten, it's not really the right side to be on. In y'all's age, the age y'all are at, you're like, I don't know, I can't, I'm not talking to a widow, that's an old lady that smells like Bengay. Like, I get it. Because Angry Dave used to take us to the nursing homes all the time to sing songs and to introduce them to Carl, like he's a carnival act. Like he's in the circus. And I remember being terrified as a 13-year-old boy walking in the nursing home and all these... And I'm like, hey, I'm going over here. Oh, there's another one. But the truth is this. The truth is Angry Dave knew what he was doing with us because he had read the Bible. And he knew that there were these facilities all over our town of people who had been forgotten and needed to be loved on. And he wanted to teach me at 13 years old that that was a very important thing to do. Now, I'm not going, okay, so guys, here's what we've set up. When I dismiss us, we're all going to go get out in some buses, and we're going to go sing to nursing homes. Like, that's not what we're doing. Some of you would be super excited. Some of you would run through that wall to not have to do it. Okay? I'm not saying that. Here's what I am saying tonight, and this is where I want us to kind of land the plane. James is writing this letter to these followers of Jesus that were struggling, that were having like anger issues because they were struggling. They were having sin issues because they were struggling. And I think this bigger point that James was trying to make is, hey, you know what would help a lot is if we quit being so focused on our own stuff and looked out to the people that were really in need. Not that your issues aren't important and not that your issues aren't real, but when we start turning around and looking outward and helping those people and serving people outside of our norm, that's when we're really doing the work of God. And then that's when we're going to be blessed in the doing. So here's what we're going to do. Band's going to come back up. We're going to do a couple of songs here tonight to close. Okay? No questions. Thank you, sir. It's on my shoe. What is? Okay. Hey, guys, it's going to be fine. I killed it. Band's going to come up. We're going to do a couple more songs. And here's what I want us to do during this song, these songs, okay? Not just sing them. That's fine. That's part of it. But if this afternoon session or tonight session, if there's stuff going on with you, maybe it's some big struggle that you've not really told anybody about, and you listened this morning and went, I need to find some joy in this somehow because it's wrecking me. Or maybe, just like the verse said, maybe we turn around and we looked and we've swung way over on this side, and we're not really doing the things of God. We're just doing the things that everybody else around us is doing. And maybe you've just realized, hey, I need to deal with that. So we're going to do a couple of songs. And during these songs, you can please sing. But also, if you need to talk to somebody about this, talk to your small group leader, talk to another adult in the room, or you need to go talk to a friend in the room and go, hey, here's a situation. I just need to talk to somebody. We want to give you that opportunity tonight before you go into your small groups, okay? So I'm going to pray for us, and when I amen it, I'm done, and we're going to keep moving. God, we thank you for this day. God, I thank you for James and how he writes and how he gives us some really practical stuff. And so, God, I pray as we've kind of evaluated where we are tonight, that you've shown us where we are. And then God begin to show us what steps we need to take to get to where you want us. So I pray over this next few minutes, God, just for transparency, for vulnerability, for honesty with our students. And then, God, we know that that's the kind of stuff that makes you smile. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.